Our second scripture lesson is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, the 12th chapter, reading from the opening verse. This portion of scripture will also serve as the basis of this morning's sermon. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you test and approve what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So, by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think in a way that results in sound judgment, as God distributed a measure of faith to each of you. For we have many members in one body, and not all the members have the same function. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Do not just pretend to love others. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Think of others as deserving more honor than yourselves. This is the word of God. Grace and peace from our Heavenly Father is ours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our special attention on this Sunday for Christian stewardship are the verses from Paul's epistle to the Romans that we heard from the lectern just a moment ago. Please hear once more just the opening verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. This is the word of our God. We pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Amen. In Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, dear fellow believers, the Apostle Paul must have been an absolute whiz at languages. He was born in Asia Minor, and his family probably spoke there one of the local Cappadocian dialects. But as already a young boy, his father sent him off to Jerusalem for schooling. There he would have had to converse in Aramaic. But he was educated as a Pharisee to become an expert in the Old Testament law of Moses. So that meant he would have to be able to do scholarly work in Hebrew. But when Jesus called him to be a missionary for the Christian church, it meant Paul would go off and carry out his ministry and be inspired to write 13 books of the New Testament in Greek. As he traveled across the empire, he frequently had to deal with Roman officials and courts, and with them, he had to manage in Latin. That's an impressive array of foreign tongues. Now, our Wells pastors today do still study Latin and Greek and Hebrew in their training, so they can tell you that it is possible, with effort, to gain a working knowledge of those languages. But to be able to use them freely and fluently so that you can speak and even write them like a native, that is a rare talent, a talent God clearly gave to Paul. That is often how God works. We know his almighty power. We know he can do anything miraculously. But often he chooses not to. Instead, he gives people talents, natural abilities, acquired skills, spiritual gifts that are needed for, valuable for, the work that God calls us to do. Writing to the Corinthians, St. Paul explained it this way. He wrote, "There are various kinds of talents, but the same God produces all of them in everyone. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now we hear that each person is gifted, and we may want to react like little children on Christmas morning, impatient to rip the paper off the packages and see, what gifts did I receive? But this morning, I hope to redirect that same enthusiasm to the last part of those words we just heard from St. Paul. Paul says, when the Holy Spirit gives us talents, abilities, spiritual gifts, we are being gifted for the common good. That means God gives us our talents so we may serve him and our neighbor. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. This portion of Paul's epistle begins with the word therefore. That word is a bridge. It links what comes after it to what comes before it. For us to know what comes before, we have to look back a chapter. And in chapter 11, we discover there that the Spirit led Paul to explain how God has wonderful news to share. God first gave that news to the children of Israel, but actually it is intended as good news for all the people of the earth. That good news from God, Paul sums up in a single verse, this one. You were once disobedient to God, but now you have been shown mercy. No matter who you may be, no matter where you may live or when, no matter whether you are great or small, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, from Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden all the way to you and me here today, each and every person finds that these words strike straight to the heart. You were once disobedient to God. You, sinner. You did not just do wrong. You were wrong. By nature and by birth, you were sinful. And you were willing to be. You were a just target of God's judgment. And you were proud of that bullseye on your chest. You heard that the wages of sin is death, and you fully expected to gather a full paycheck. But God changed that. God chose to show mercy. Already back in the Garden of Eden, God pledged to send sinful humankind a Savior, one who would take on his own shoulders the sinfulness of humanity, who would accept the full punishment for all sins of all people, who was willing to suffer the terrors of hell itself, all in order to crush the power of sin and Satan and bring forgiveness and forever freedom to everyone who believes God's word. Entrusted with that wonderful good news, Paul went to work using the talents that God had given him to do exactly what God called him to do. He proclaimed the good news of pardon and peace by faith in Jesus Christ. Right here in our text, Paul tells us that by his Son Jesus, God showed mercy. Therefore, there's that bridge, therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The group of believers that Paul was writing to in Rome was a mixed batch of Jews and Gentiles. It's likely that those people reacted differently to hear Paul drop that word, sacrifice. For the Jews, it would have conjured up memories of the Old Testament rituals, all those bloody sacrifices set aflame on the temple altar. For the Gentiles, well, they may have heard that word sacrifice in a way closer to the way we hear it today, as a thing that a person willingly gives up. Something offered as a token of respect or as an expression of love. But neither a Jewish nor a Gentile Christian could possibly hear that word without being reminded of a far greater sacrifice, one offered not by any sinner, but by the Savior himself. That sacrifice is our only hope of ever doing anything that is pleasing or holy in God's sight. Earlier in this same letter to the Romans, the Holy Spirit led Paul to provide this background for what you're hearing. He wrote, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. For through the law, we become aware of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." Well, the blessings of that precious sacrifice of atonement define our lives as God's people. Forgiveness for our sins, peace with God, a clear conscience, a newfound strength as we battle with temptation, a precious bond with our fellow believers, the sure and certain hope of eternal life in heaven. We know these blessings because by grace we own these blessings ourselves. We give thanks for them often. We praise our God for letting us know that such gifts are ours because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. We call our thanks and our praises worship. But this morning, our Heavenly Father urges us to give that word worship a fuller, deeper meaning. Paul writes, "I urge you by the mercies of God to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your appropriate worship." Offer your bodies? Those words may strike our ears a bit oddly at first, but I think we can understand that God isn't just asking here for our hands, our arms, our legs, our torsos. No, offer yourself, God is saying. Make your Christian life a living sacrifice. one that you willingly give by and of and from yourself. Well, we want to ask, how do we go about doing that? But our Lord does not leave us unanswered. Here, through Paul, he provides quite a long list of ways. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given to us. If the gift is prophecy, today we might say preaching, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is, if it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Actually, Paul goes on to list more than 30 additional ways we Christians can use the talents that God gives to us to serve Him and serve our neighbor. The list is varied and it is specific. The talents God gives for serving, they aren't all tied to the church, but I think we can understand that often they start here. Think for a moment about the word picture that Paul uses for the church. He writes, "We each have many members in one body, and not all the members have the same function. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ. And individually, we all are members of one another." Paul really liked this image of the church as a body. The Holy Spirit let him use it in fully half of his epistles. Plenty of lessons can be drawn from this word picture, but today, let's focus on the idea of interdependence. Think about it. If something comes flying towards your eyes, how do you protect them? With your hands, right? If a door is about to slam on your fingers, how are they saved? By shoving your foot in the door. If you stumble and fall, what cushions your landing? Your elbows, or your knees, or perhaps another body part that has a little more padding. Your eyes take in sights that affect everything we do. Your ears bring in information that is essential for the way we act and live. Your nose picks up aromas and scents that can be an early warning of approaching dangers. We could go on, but I think the picture is clear enough. When our everything in our body is connected, all the parts are meant to work together. All of them depend on each other. Each body part is essential. If any part isn't working, the whole body suffers. Well, that is how God's Word pictures the Christian congregation. Each body part, each member, doing what God-given talents make him or her or you able to do. No member is unneeded. No member is unimportant. Every member is essential. When even one isn't working, the whole body suffers. And we all know St. Paul's has been blessed to have some wonderfully well-functioning body parts. I don't need to mention names. We all understand how vital it is, how the ministry of this congregation would quite literally grind to a halt were it not for the volunteers who do so much to keep us going and working and serving. But is our whole body functioning fully? Are all the parts doing what God has gifted them to do? Are we functioning fully, productively, willingly? Don't try to answer for anyone else. Are you doing the things that God makes you able to do with the talents and the abilities that He has given you? As we each consider that question, let's also remind ourselves that the work of Christ's church and of this congregation does not stop at the church door. We have a ministry from Jesus, our Savior, that literally goes into all the world, and that big world includes your town, your neighborhood, your own home. So what we need to ask ourselves is, are we making the most of our God-given talents in every area of our lives? Let's give that question some prayerful, careful thought this morning. And as we do, let's not forget the pointed guidance God's Word gives us here. Early on in our text, we heard Paul write, "By the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought." And then near the end, he echoes, "Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Think of others as deserving more honor than yourselves." Now, Paul isn't just spouting platitudes here. He knows what he's talking about. His epistles often address this particular temptation of being self-centered, self-serving. I wonder, might this have been an issue that Paul himself struggled with? After all, we all do, don't we? Almost by instinct, we do think of ourselves first, what we prefer, how we like things done, how much we are willing to work. But what our Lord asks of us is different. As we manage the talents He gives to us, He urges us to focus not on ourselves, but on the other person first. What might he like? How does she prefer things? What do they need me to do? That shift in focus, that sort of self-sacrifice, is not going to come easily or without effort. But it can come. It will come if we are willing to let it in Christ. Excuse me. It can. We can sacrifice ourselves because of the Savior who sacrificed Himself. That has to be why the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to introduce his long list of encouragements in this chapter with those six words, "By the grace given to me." Today is Stewardship Sunday at St. Paul's. It says so right on the front of your bulletin. It's a day that we set aside on our church calendar each year to remind ourselves of something we really ought to think about each day. How well, how faithfully we are managing God's many blessings. You can tell, I think, that our special focus today has been on our stewardship of talents. The talents that God gives us may be spiritual gifts that have to do with how we use God's word and how we live out our faith. Or they may be natural abilities. Everyday things that God allows us to do just a little better, or maybe a whole lot better than average. We want to use those talents. We want to show our thanks to the God who has given them. We want to make clear that we understand that the talents God gives to us are not just meant for us. They are the means that God gives us to serve Him and to serve our neighbor. But the truth is that our success in serving, in offering the appropriate worship that our God desires and deserves, all comes down to those six short words we heard from St. Paul. By the grace given to me. We cannot be faithful Christian stewards without the faith in Christ that God gives to us by His grace. We cannot love God, serve God, or our neighbor without the loving service that our Lord Jesus first provided for us by His grace. We cannot hope to use the talents we have in a God-pleasing way without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, whom God sends us by His grace. Dear ones, the good news, quite literally, the gospel, is that the grace of God is ours. We don't deserve it. But God keeps on giving it in His Word, in His sacraments, in His Son, Jesus. That means we each are gifted. Gifted for the common good. Graciously gifted. So that we may serve God and our neighbor. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.